You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where I say this every week and you know it's coming. We watch every episode, we dissect it, we talk about it. The show changed our lives. I think it may have changed your lives. Maybe it didn't, but this is what we're doing. It's a lot of fun. I was actually really looking forward to today, Tom.
Why?
I don't know. I was like, you know, I'm looking forward to talking to Tom and Ryan, and it's been a while since we've recorded an episode, and I'm excited. If you didn't get a chance to call in and leave your questions for this episode, make sure you get some in future episodes by calling our hotline, 213-538-2883, 213-538-2883. Make sure you leave a brief message. If it's longer than like 15, 20 seconds, see ya. You know, we're trying to get sponsors every week, and we have patrons that are really saving the show right now and keeping us afloat. And go to patreon.com/talkville to join the Patreon family. And there's different tiers. And there's some cool things we're working on too that we're gonna do. I think we're catching our stride. I think the show's getting better and better. I think Bryce is doing a phenomenal work as a producer. I think Jason's editing the shows tremendously. Jason, we love you.
And thank God Ryan's here. You know, fresh eyes, fresh ears.
It's nice to have Ryan here. I love having Ryan.
I got that fresh perspective.
Yeah, Ryan came over for a pumpkin carving contest.
I did.
Did you win?
I did not.
You didn't win.
I did not win.
Okay. Sorry about that. Our socials, please follow us. It means a lot when you write a review. It helps us in the rankings. So if you write a review, if you like the show, it's awesome. Go to the handles are Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. That's Talkville Podcast. And Talkville Pod on the Twitter. And a quick update for everyone. First, I'd like to introduce everybody, my good buddy Ryan here, Teos.
Howdy.
He's also my engineer for Inside of You. If you're not listening to that podcast, you're missing out. We have great guests like Tom Welling. And also my dear friend of many years since 2001, over 20 years of friendship, Mr. Tom Welling.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. By the way, going back to the comment thing and putting us on the back, this is one of those rare things where just the fact that people respond and comment actually gives us wings as a production. You know, on television shows, people comment and stuff, and you know, I think the creative teams look at it and they might make some adjustments, but it doesn't necessarily really mean, you know, they're looking at ratings. For us, ratings is reactions and feedback. So
yeah,
I further encourage you.
Yeah. And reviews. Hey, wanting you guys to head over to our website, talkvillepodcast.com, to cast your vote for some of the best moments of season one. We'll be talking about them in an upcoming episode. Quick update on where we're at with rankings and scores. I'd like to thank you, Bryce. Thank you, Leah Stubbs, for keeping track of this. Ryan's favorite scene. Tom has guessed 2 right.
Oh, boy.
I have guessed 8 right.
What?
We have tied 3 times, and we've both missed 4 times so far.
So we're both just as bad, but you're just better.
Maybe. Rosenbaum ratings average total. This is interesting. Patrons, their average score is a 1.6 rose. That's a solid score. If 3 roses is the best, and they're giving it a 1.6 rose. Tom, you're at an average of a 1.5 rose. Ryan, 1.3. And I'm at a 1.1.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I mean, I think that's pretty good. A rose is good. We were getting a little bit, on the last episode, it says that I guess we didn't really love the episode. I think that's what they're sort of it's going to happen, and it might happen today too. Let's be honest. All right, without further ado, let's get into season 1, episode 18. This one's called Drone.
Yeah.
All right, Drone. And by the way, we have a guest today, special guest, someone who really supports the show, has supported it since the beginning, has supported Smallville since the beginning, and we will get into that a little bit later. God bless you, Tom. And in the next episode, make sure you stick around for Crush. because we have another special guest, and that one we are special guesting the hell out of this. Titles Drone aired April 30th, 2002.
That's a special, special gift.
Special, special guest. Director Michael Cattleman. Remember Michael Cattleman?
A lot of walk and talks. You'll see it in this episode. A lot of walk and talks.
I like Cattleman. Writers. Yeah, didn't it like his somebody died and he had to leave?
There was some, yeah, I don't remember, but I know that he didn't show up one day and it was a family matter or something. Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah. The writers, Al Goff, Miles Miller, Philip Levins, and Michael Green. Guest stars, Shonda Farr as Sasha Woodman. Shellen Simmons as Felice Chandler. Marguerite Moreau as Carrie Castle. I worked with her in a movie in Germany many years ago. We had to loop the entire movie with sound. It didn't turn out well. I don't want you to see that.
Not ideal.
And Hiro Kanagawa as Principal Kwan. Kanagawa.
You know, there's something I wanted to talk to real quick. This occurred to me that a lot of our villains in a lot of these episodes, and I don't know why this just occurred to me yesterday when I was watching not only this episode, but the next episode we're going to get into. But, you know, you got Clark, who's always trying to do things and not hurt anyone along the way. Mm-hmm. And majority of our villains are always trying to get ahead at the expense of other people, ultimately, whether they know it or not. And I think that looking back at some of these episodes, you'll see that. And especially this one, especially the next one, it's very clear. And so that's just a theme that came up to me yesterday. And I thought it was, I wish I would have known it 20 years ago, but
interesting.
Clark wouldn't have known that, but yeah.
That's true. Synopsis, Sasha Woodman is eliminating her competition in the race for class president by commanding a swarm of bees to attack them. Pete recommends Clark Kent to run for the seat. Which is even worse
than what Sasha's doing.
Yes. Chloe endorses his competition. Meanwhile, Lana Lang finds an underhanded way to save the talent from bankruptcy, and Lex Luthor puts a second reporter in his pocket. Lots of Godfather references in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go to a brief play-by-play? You guys can stop me if you want. We'll just kind of we'll tell you what's going on. We'll jump in when we feel like it. The episode opens with Chloe and Pete discussing the upcoming Smallville High School president election. They talk about Sasha Woodman. She's a hard worker, but not a leader. Foreshadowing. Paul Chan is the most qualified and Felice Chandler is the most popular. You know, it did bother me. We'll get into it, but that stereotypical, like, everyone's going to vote for me because, like, I'm the cheerleader. I'm the most popular.
I know, but that we needed that because that's addressed. We addressed that in the episode, that's why we needed that.
I get it. But like, do you have to be so on the money with like your look it up dictionary from the 80s? Do we have to do that?
Yeah. Well, up until this point, I thought Lana was the most popular. I didn't even know this girl existed. She couldn't have been that popular.
It's funny because if you look at Lana, she doesn't seem that popular other than dating Whitney, but she doesn't ever like, you don't ever see a lot of popular kids coming up to her and talking to her.
I mean, how many people have we had who want to be like her that kill people? I mean, a couple.
Yeah, but those are weirdos.
I just always assumed Lana was the most popular.
I guess. I mean, she's...
Well, she's busy. She's busy.
She's got a lot going on.
She likes poetry. She's running a business.
Back at Paul Chan's home, we see him making Superman-inspired poster for his campaign posters. He goes to clean up the bathroom and is attacked by a swarm of bees from his sink drain. You know, it was kind of cool. Right away, I did have to say that I kind of went, bees. We're into bees now. Bees!
Well, it definitely didn't take place during winter because bees aren't around. So this must have been a summer, spring, late, early fall kind of episode.
The news makes its way to Smallville High the next day, and Clark, Chloe, and Pete speculate on what could have caused it. With Paul out of sight and mind, Pete goes ahead and nominates the unwilling Clark for president. Later on, Good Samaritan Lex Luthor pulls over a damsel in distress who's on the side of the road working on her car. Lex calls her bluff after finding out her car is not having problems, and she confesses to being a reporter for the Metropolis Journal, Carrie Castle. She wants to do a puff piece on Lex and offers to get him out of the shadow of his father. I like this scene. I kind of like seeing the playboy come out in him. He sees this, you know, beautiful woman on the side of the road. He's like, I'm gonna go check this out. And of course she doesn't like me for me, she wants something from me. She wants,
I like that Lex had all the best intentions, but still sniffed out the rat. You know, he was still like, wait a second. Yeah. Just when he's trying to be good, nice.
True. And they always gave me really good cars. I always drove really nice cars. I like that. It was always something different. They're like, can you drive this? I'm like, yes. And like, just, and I used to speed off and they used to get pissed off at me. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. At the Talon, Lana Lang vents to Clark about business woes with the Talon slow in business because the Beanery is trying to put her out. This leads Clark to visit Lex Luthor Manor and ask if he can help Lana with the struggling Talon. I think this is just, you're kind of a dick. It's a dick move. It's a rude move because Lex went out of his way to help her get the Talon. And now, well, we're not doing well. Can you help her again, Lex?
Well, it only would have been worse if Clark inspired Lana to go talk to Lex, her investor, and Lana would be like, Clark, can you come with me? Can you imagine the two of us being there?
Yeah, like, that would be just annoying. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, come on. If I was Lex, I would have like lashed out and said, you know what? Get out of here. Get out. I did your girlfriend a favor. Now get out. You're taking advantage of me like everyone else. Lex says that the business needs to find its own feet without him stepping in. Lex then gives Clark support for his presidential campaign and says the man of tomorrow is forged by his battles of today.
Very important slogan. Very important slogan.
Yeah. And this becomes Clark's new campaign slogan. Chloe is hesitant to support Clark because she doesn't know where he stands on school issues. And Pete has become a full-blown campaign manager. Angry by the fact that Clark has not dropped out of the race like he said, Sasha Woodman, his running competitor, returns home to work on her campaign. Inside her garage campaign headquarters, we find a swarm of bees that are under the control of her every word.
You know, in retrospect, don't you want someone who wants it this bad? Like, you want someone who just is willing to kill to be
really
president.
That's what you want? It's just... I guess, again, we go back to this, the freak of the week. I guess you have to do these things. But here's my problem. This is episode 18. 18?
Well, who knows how long? No one knew it was going to go 10 years.
This is season one. We're getting a full season. You know there's episodes. The late episodes, they should all be more gripping. They should all push the story forward into the finale. And I had a problem with this episode. I thought there was great moments. But, and there really were, some nice moments for the character building up, but just bees. And this girl controls bees and she was stung by 1,000 bees and they were with kryptonite and then the meteor rocks or whatever. And it just was hard to let go. It was hard to get in, you know, what's the word, to get invested.
You know, what would have been great if Lex would have figured out that all you need is if you had kryptonite and someone got stung by bees and you gave them kryptonite, that they had all this control. Wouldn't Cadmus Labs would have made $1 billion on that?
Yeah. See?
Well, I think they had it planned out. But I don't know if they knew that they were going to have to fill 21, 22 episodes.
No, back then you knew you had 22 episodes usually for a series.
So I think it's easier to pick a hand, 10 episodes, to move the plot forward. And then you're like, well, we got advertisers. Yeah. We have to fill in.
I'm not saying it's easy task. Look, the creators are amazing. The show is amazing. I'm saying that 18, 19, 20, and 21 should just all be pretty good. They should all really push the story ahead. I'm just saying this episode felt like episode 7.
Well, they're also still trying to
figure out what the show is.
Yeah, I think. And by making a high school oriented problem the big problem and attach some sort of supernatural element to it, that to me feels like what the show has been, at least a little
right.
bit.
Right. And also, is it what number episode is this? 17 or 18?
18.
What is it?
18.
18. Okay. So that lands on a 4. So my theory of every fourth episode really counts. Yeah. I mean,
why not?
It pushes a couple agendas this episode. It pushes Clark into the limelight reluctantly. It shows you who Lex's idea of who he wants to be in the future, we'll get to later, the president of the United States.
Sure.
There's some things that get flushed out as a result of this B storyline, no pun intended, to just, it flushes out
the problem is, it's the A storyline, isn't it? Back at Smallville High, Detective Chloe Sullivan is figuring out why Paul was attacked by a swarm of bees and learns beekeepers from all over the state have found their hives empty. Clark takes a peek at the upcoming Torch edition, shocked to find out Chloe's official endorsement for class president is not him. I understood this. I like this. It is your good friend. Look, truthfully, if my best friend did it, if he went for president, I'd vote for him. I don't care what the circumstances are. You'd have my endorsement because you're my best friend. So
even if he was a bad candidate?
Well, I wouldn't be friends with someone who I thought was a bad person. I just wouldn't.
See, this is another thing that came up in this episode. I saw some similarities finally between Chloe and Lex. Mm-hmm. And that is a moral compass to stay true to themselves and the criteria that they decide upon of what they want for themselves and what they want for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's very clear in this. She's not doing it for Clark. She's doing it for what she thinks is best. And Lex is the same way in many circumstances. Lana's a little here and there. It's a little like, hey, this is good for me. And I think it's good for you too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Tom, I can't tell you how much therapy helps me and helps so many of my friends. Ryan uses BetterHelp. It is just something that it's part of my routine. And BetterHelp's been with us a long time. And guys, the stigma is gone. Getting help and feeling better about yourself and learning things about yourself, understanding is part of the process and so important, so you don't end up old and miserable. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Therapy with BetterHelp is just a good place to start when you want to understand you better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. It takes no time at all to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TalkVille today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TalkVille.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Clark meets with Lana to confirm that the Talon can be the location for the upcoming fundraiser, and Lex Luthor visits to tell Lana she needs to get her hands dirty because the Beanery has declared war.
And she's sending her non-boyfriend to her investor.
Exactly. Sasha confronts Felice at Smallville High later that day, warning her that she needs to drop out. Felice says no because she is the front runner. She says that in a hive with two queens, one always goes down. Again, it was just, yeah, this character just, here's what I like. I like when characters are grounded. You don't have to look, this could be in the direction. Okay. This is the direction. If I'm a director, I don't want somebody to come off corny and more of a caricature. You could have played that character. And I'm not saying anything to the actress. This is how she played it. This is how she was told to play it. But look, she could have easily not done the whole meow, 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 meow. She could have gone like, well, look, I'm popular and they're going to vote for me. So,
well, I'll tell you,
it could have just played a little more subtle.
The fact that you brought that up, I you know, the next episode we're going to do with
Crush
Adam Brody, the way stay tuned. He played a character that I will get to it in the next episode, but much more grounded.
Yes. And it worked.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. Back at Luthor Manor, Lex is getting a massage on his purple cushion table and finds out his normal masseuse is gone. He's being massaged by Carrie Castle. She continues to push to write a story on him, promising to get him out of his father's shadow, and he agrees. I just thought one thing. Lex Luthor lives in a mansion. He's got supposed to have the top security. This will be a redundant thing that I'll talk about. All of a sudden, his masseuse is someone different.
You don't think his security can get, you know, bribed, but
those don't feel like man hands.
They know that Lex would fire them. If he can't trust, he doesn't trust anybody. And these people are getting in like that.
Well, we find out in season 2 that she's a shapeshifter.
Just kidding.
Liar.
God damn it.
Back at Smallville High. Like, what? Back at Smallville High, Principal Kwan confronts a car stopped in the middle of the parking lot. It's Felice's car, and when he goes to open the door, he finds her completely swarmed by bees and unrecognizable. She is taken to the medical center and is in a coma. I recently saw Principal Kwan in a movie. I saw
him.
In. I've seen him in a couple of things.
He works.
And whenever you see him, you know they're filming in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Also, but just like the amount of things that this poor guy has just witnessed over the past year.
The fires, the bees.
What? I mean, we know what he's talking about with his therapist.
Yeah, I think so.
I saw he's a got man a tough, light
everybody's
a television.
Like, why is he so mean? Why is he so tough? Imagine. There's a lot going on, dude.
I like Principal Kwan. I think, you know, if I met him, I don't think I've ever met him, but if I met him, I'd be like, oh my God, you're Principal. Like, he's a star to me. Like, he's like, he's just like, he's part of the Smallville lore. L-O-R-E.
Yeah, it's funny because there's an NBA coach this week that just either fired or stepped away. And he's, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. And it's just his sort of thing was like, hey, I really wish you guys the best. I know I can't be here. But the side note is like, I don't need to deal with all this stress every day. Like, I'm trying all my get, and it reminds me of Principal Kwan. He's just like, I just, every week there's something. Life
I know, every freaking week. While bees are taking down other presidential candidates, Clark is becoming a social butterfly, finding enjoyment and connecting with potential constituents. Miraculously, as Pete, Clark, and Chloe talk about the string of bee attacks, Clark remembers Sasha's accident a year ago where she was stung by a whole hive of bees, and he starts to put some of the pieces together. In the halls, Sasha confronts Clark and makes the same underhanded threat to drop out. I think she's not subtle at all. She wants to get caught.
It's very aggressive what they're asking the character to do, because why? Listen, if it wasn't a TV show, she'd just be like, well, let's see who the best candidate wins. Like, what's the problem?
And by the way,
because he'll be taking votes away from her. And if there's four people now, three people in the race, a lot of it's you want to get somebody to drop out to not take the votes away from them because of the other person. I mean,
and I got to tell you, I think this actress did a good job. I do. I wouldn't have played it like that. I thought she was too angry, too intense, too guilty.
Obvious.
Play the fucking, the opposite. It always works. It does. If she would have said like, Clark, listen, you don't have any experience. I think you should just try to kill them with kindness. In the beginning, at least. At least show us a softer side. Like, hey, and then go, oh. But we knew she's bad right away. We knew that girl was a bitch right away. I don't like to know that shit. Show me something different. I'm sorry, guys. That's just the way I feel. Burn me. Later at the Talon, Clark is working on his campaign speech. Alana continues to lament the downfall of the newly opened Talon. Clark consoles her as the two hear buzzing all around them. Clark uses X-ray vision, which I like, to see a swarm of bees in the events. Rushes Lana to safety, uses antifreeze from a pipe to stop the swarm. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was a pretty cool effect. Later that night, Clark tells Lana that he thinks Sasha is behind the swarm of bees, and she tells him that he needs to contact the police immediately. Just kidding. She says that he should contact Chloe. Chloe goes to Sasha's garage campaign headquarters to investigate and runs into Chloe. Clark goes into Sasha's garage. Chloe is already there snooping. They see traces of a hive in the rafters, and that's when Chloe exclaims, I think she's emitting the queen mandibular pheromone and controlling the bees. Of course she would know that. I mean, who doesn't know the word mandibular?
I didn't.
I still
Your mandible.
I understand in the context, but I don't understand what it is.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to say it. Good for her. The two head back to put an end to Sasha before she turns the school into her own personal hive. As the Talon, Lex and Carrie discuss the new article, and Lex exposes the hit piece she's been trying to create. Lex then tries to figure out how to pay her off. She denies his attempt. I like seeing Lex sort of like, seeing people F with him a little bit and seeing how he responds. You know, he's going to respond in a way that he's going to get what he wants, you think.
But it's a good test because she's not in it for the money. She's in it for the power. Yeah. And Lex exposes her for that.
Yeah. Later that day, Sasha, dressed like a bee in a striped shirt, goes to meet Clark at the Kent farm. And he tells her that he's dropping out of the election. Clark then exposes what she's been up to, and she tries to summon the swarm to attack Martha, who is out on the farm. Good CGI.
By the
really
way,
cool
Annette
scene.
Annette did a great job. If you watch, she's running through
the
field.
Into
by
it.
The way, I know that field. That's a cattle. So that whole farm is a cattle farm. That field is not flat to run on. Okay, there's hoof prints everywhere. You can snap an ankle easily in that field. Annette's running her turn. And by the way, the swarm of bees, did it remind you of Hitchcock's The Birds? Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Her hair, she played it exactly the way same she's as turning
and like, yeah.
And when she finally turns, like everything is perfect. And then Annette, like, I don't know how much like CGI and stunts Annette has done, but dude, she nails every movement in that.
She does.
As it needs to be.
I hope sometime we find some flaws with Annette O'Toole that we can talk about. Because it seems impossible at this
point. It's impossible.
She's pretty much on point. Right as the swarm is about to engulf Martha, Clark uses super speed to grab her and take her to safety into the storm cellar. I loved it. Thought it was really cool.
Sasha, I didn't see a space. I didn't see a spaceship.
Well, they probably hit it a little more, made it a little more discreet this time. I mean, come on. Sasha retreats back to her garage, but Clark intercepts her there. As Chloe was predicted, Sasha is now focused on a new colony, Smallville High. Her existing bee colony is enraged and looking for revenge. They break into attack her, and Clark throws a screwdriver into propane tanks to explode the entire garage.
It's pretty badass.
And his wardrobe is unaffected.
If it explodes, how does she not die? Did you take her out?
He covered her.
Yeah.
And he covered her, huh? Okay.
He's fireproof. I mean,
Clark's wardrobe must be scotch guarded or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, in one episode in the back, there was like bullet holes in your thing. But since then, nothing is as they made a decision not to do that again because then he's got to change his jacket. No, he is invincible along with everything he's wearing. I don't know where he gets his clothes, but I want some of that.
At this point, the wardrobe budget was set.
Yeah, we're not exploding another flannel.
No.
Forget that.
Will we find another red flannel? Fuck.
God, they're so expensive. Paul Chan wins class president, and the school goes to celebrate at the Talon. Lex shows up, and Lana lets him know that the beanery is going to be exposed for having health violations, thus saving the Talon. Lex consoles Clark on his loss and tells him he would like to become president one day.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. And I keep messing up the motto back.
I have to say, I wish there was that line. I thought I should have acted a little differently. It wasn't bad. I don't think I was bad in the scene. When you said, "What do you think you'd like to do something?" I think there should have been a really like longer pause. You know, maybe I did give it, maybe the editing, I don't know, but it should have been, I don't know, Clark, maybe I'd like to run for president one day.
Well, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. What I think
I'm just saying.
I think it's one of those moments that it's for the audience to to eat, as opposed to the actor and the performance to make a meal of. You know, I think if you're not into it and you could miss that line, but if you're into it, you're like, did he just say that? You know,
you're shitting on the show, Rosenbaum. Later, Carrie Castle arrives at Luther Mansion. Lex bribes her with a managing editor position at the Journal to not run her story.
So my favorite line that in this episode is when Lex, she goes, If there was a position open, I'd know about it. And Lex says, we don't know the same people.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's just great. It's so
it
true.
Clears
you think
it up
you
right
know
there.
Some people, lady. You don't know shit. The episode ends with Clark giving his campaign speech to Lana in the barn. I thought that was cute. Mm-hmm. It was a nice moment. We do the tilt up to the sky.
Well, even the little bit of his speech that you do here, it's about... You know, you might not think that you can make a difference. Basically, what he's saying is, you might not think you can make a difference, but I'm here to say you can. And I thought that was a very inspiring. And then it trails off, obviously.
Yeah.
But I also like Kristen's sort of like speech. I have a feeling that that was her. It wasn't necessarily written that way.
Yeah. I think so you kind of looked like a slob in the last scene in that wide shot. I think your shirt was kind of baggy. You looked like a little bit of a slob. Did you notice that?
Well, we ended up making shirts for me because part of the problem was like my shoulders were this big, but my stomach was this big. And, you know, the shirts that would fit me would just drape all over me. And it worked in the beginning because he's a high school kid, whatever. He's all a whole like fitted shirt and everything. Then he'd be Oliver Queen. So,
special guest right now. And then we'll get into more interesting things of note. We'll get into the Ryan's favorite scene. We'll get into the hotline. Much more to come. But now for our next few minutes, we'd like to talk to an individual who is a fan, like you guys.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, always hold on to Smallville. Please welcome Zach Moore. Zach, how are you, buddy?
I am super excited to be here talking to you guys about some Smallville today.
Zach, you look very calm. I wanted to real quick say thank you for doing what you do because you've inspired Michael to steal your always hold on to Smallville for the end of every one of our episodes.
That is true.
Yes. Yes. You can have it. No problem. So
first of all, I'd like to say, have you watched this episode, Drone, recently?
I have. I watched it in preparation for this. I have.
You did. So first of all, I think you haven't heard what I had to say, but I had a lot of, I had issues. I had issues
with this episode.
Yeah, I had some issues. I'd like to hear your honest thoughts. I don't want to sway you one way or another, but what was your, I'd like to hear from a fan's point of view, from when the first time you saw it compared to now. Try to imagine yourself as a fan the first time you watched it and what you thought of it.
Well, I really love the first season, being that it took like this concept of like Superman, but he's a teenager, right? So he's doing teenager things, he's doing high school things, and he's running for class president, right? And that's a cool hook for an idea of a story. And then you get to the Freak of the Week part of it, and it's like, well, that's a little cliche, and they're already done like an insect villain already, kind of earlier
insect
in the show,
guy, episode two.
Yeah, all right. But at the time, I thought it was great. I have a special. This episode holds a special place in my heart a little bit because I was inspired to run not for class president, but for band president when I was in high school because of this episode.
Let me guess, you played the trombone.
I wanted to. They told me my lips were too small. I don't know if that's
the
true
flute.
Or not.
The flute.
I played the French horn. Actually.
French horn.
Yeah. That's the smallest mouthpiece.
Yeah. Tom played the rusty trombone.
What is it? And if you look at history of people who become band president, what instrument wins more often, like a sax or a drummer or like?
I like
you
sax.
You would think a saxophone would, because it's like the coolest one. Although I lost to a guy who played euphonium, which people don't even know what that is. So
All right, back to this.
That's a small tuba.
I did lose, by the way. As Clark did. So I was like, well, Clark lost on Smallville. I lost in real life. It's cool. Good. So,
isn't euphonium like a small tuba? Isn't that what that is?
A small tuba?
Isn't that?
A euphonium.
Right? Euphonium?
Euphonium. Yeah. It's a small tuba. It's a good description. Yeah.
Nice. Nerds. No, I'm just kidding. You would know this better, I think. But now you have a website, Always Hold on Smallville, but you have a podcast.
Yes. I do have a podcast, Always Hold on Smallville.
Right.
It's correct.
So do you get a lot of listeners and is it pretty popular? Do you like doing it?
Is it a rewatch thing or is it a...
It is a rewatch podcast. We go through each and every episode of Smallville and we get a lot of listeners.
We should watch this before our podcast so we're more informed.
If you ever don't have time to watch the episode, listen to our podcast. Although I will say, I feel like we talk even longer. Like the episode's 45 minutes and we go like over an hour. I'm like, how do we talk so much about twice as long for an episode? But we really get into some weeds. But no, we go episode by episode. As of right now, I'm in between season 7 and 8. I'm going to start season 8 soon.
Oh, wow.
A lot of life goes on when I take breaks and things. And we also go into some Superman things here or there as they come up, right? Because it's topical. It ties in. Smallville is the main thing. That's the flagship of everything. So
let me ask you, what does the community think? Your community, our community think of the show so far?
Of your podcast?
Of Talkville, yeah.
No, I I think people really love it. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know myself and the people in my circles, like, they really enjoy the kind of the good balance between fun and, you know, just informativeness, you know, because you got to be self-aware about this stuff, right? You can't take it too seriously, but also at the same time, you can't just, I mean, there's a lot of true things to talk about. And I think you guys have a good balance of hitting on, oh yeah, this is a cool behind the scenes thing that happened. People might not know about, and here's a fun story. And you know what? This is a good emotional scene, but also this is pretty ridiculous, right? We can all agree on this. And yeah. So that's, you got to have that good balance. And I think you guys are doing a great job. And it's so fun to, cause I've been to a few conventions, a handful that you guys have been to. And I feel like you've kind of bottled that and put it into this, like that same kind of vibe, which at least speaking for myself, I really think is great.
Well, it's fun for me because what I like to share is that sort of the boots on the ground stories that people might not know. Mm. Michael likes to shit on the show, which is
God dang it.
but I will say that the couple, I've met some people at conventions. I was just in London 3 days ago, and a couple people had the Talkville t-shirts on. I had four groups of people have them, and I think four groups of people saying that their shipment was going to come in the next day. Oh. And they couldn't get them. But I've yet to have anyone to my face say they don't like it. so that's good.
By the way, before I ask you this, do people really talk to you and say, Rosenbaum really shits on the show?
I don't think it's that extreme, but I do appreciate the balance of, I think Tom always finds that, like, you know what, there's something in this, you know, that's to be appreciated. And, but your brutal honesty is appreciated, Michael.
Listen, like, even in this episode I'm talking, I always find positives in each episode. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of times when I'm watching, I watch as a fan. If something's good, I'm in. If something takes me out, I tell the audience, this is what took me out. I'm just trying to be, I think it's a good balance. You're right. Tom is very much more positive. I'm more realistic. Ryan's more objective.
Here.
Ryan's here.
You need that, though. Yeah, you need that. Because if you have two people who are just, this is the best thing ever, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not a very interesting conversation. And then also you have two people just, you know, crapping on something. Yeah, you know, that gets old too. So I agree. I think it's a good balance to you guys.
I also think that I, from the boots on the ground aspect, I was there for a lot of the, how do we actually make this thing better? I think if I was involved in a podcast that was related to a show that I wasn't on, but I enjoyed, I would probably have a different perspective because I'd be like, oh, this is horrible, blah, blah, blah. I had no idea it took 2 weeks to actually figure that out and that the problems on set were this. And it actually turned out pretty good as a result. So I think that's part of what helps me remain positive.
Yeah. Zach, so far through episode 18, through Drone, we won't go ahead, get ahead of ourselves. But what has been your top few episodes that you've really enjoyed? And maybe talk about some of the things that you're really liking about Talkville.
Yeah, you know, for so episodes of Talkville I've enjoyed or Smallville I've enjoyed?
Both.
Yeah, I think it is fun. And I've experienced this on my podcast too. Sometimes when there's like a worse episode, it can be more fun to talk about because you're just kind of having a good time. Like, this is ridiculous, right? You're all having a good time laughing about it. But no, I really think the actually Craving, right? The Amy Adams episode. That was a really good episode of y'all's podcast because it's kind of like considered this like, well, that's the fat vampire episode. That's kind of weird. Right. But the inside of behind the scenes stuff and you guys talking about working with Amy Adams and that kind of stuff, whenever you can find a new perspective on something that isn't generally accepted as people, I mean, people don't talk about it other than laugh it off. And when you sit down and actually talk about, oh, this is really talking about like, you know, teen issues and weight loss and all that kind of stuff that responds well, you know? And so, but then you get to an episode like, you know, like, well, like the pilot or Hourglass, right? And that has some really cool Superman iconography stuff like Lex for President or Clark Living Forever. That kind of stuff is real cool to hear you guys' perspectives on as well. So I think they probably would, other than the extreme cases of like a really bad episode and then having some fun conversation about it, that helps it out. But I think they would coincide with like, you know, fan favorite episodes, y'all's discussion about it, because people want to hear, people have been, you know, us as fans watching for gosh, 20 years now, we've been talking about it with each other. And it's so interesting to hear what you guys who were there, who are in the show, have to say about it. So that those are probably the most highly anticipated ones for sure.
Well, I'd agree with you. If Keanu Reeves did a podcast about John Wick, I would watch every second. I would want to hear everything he had to say.
Sure.
Like, I would just be into it. It'd be awesome. or anything he did, Constantine and obviously everything else. But I'm a huge fan of trying to, I love how people operate, not maybe what they did, but how they got there. I really love those kind of stories. And I think that's where some of our stories, at least for me, come from to share.
Zach, yeah. Lastly, and we'll let you go, because we got the rest of the show to complete here. But we'll probably bring you back down the road.
I would love to be back.
If you'll join us. Where can we find Always Hold On to Smallville? Where can people go?
So Always Hold On to Smallville is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. It's Always Smallville with one S because when I created it, the Twitter limit would not let me say Always Hold On to Smallville. So I've just embraced that. And now it's Always Smallville with one S everywhere across social media. And I do want to say, I really have appreciated what you guys have been doing with the podcast. It's a lot of fun. I like how, like, as mine is kind of winding down because I'm at the end. You guys are at the beginning. So good. There's a big gap between the two of them. If you had started this when I first started, I probably just been like, well, I'll just shut it down.
Well, listen, I'm inspired because I just realized my new process is I'm not going to watch Smallville episodes. I'm going to listen to your podcast in preparation for our podcast from now on.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. I did have one request though, if I may.
Sure.
So I met you at a convention, Michael, and you were so gracious to give me a bump in for my podcast. So now I start the podcast with, "Hey, this is Michael Rosenbaum. I'm Lex Luthor. You're listening to Always Alone in Smallville." Tom, may I ask you, sir, could you give me a bump in for Always Alone in Smallville?
Yeah, how do you do it, though? I just say my name?
Yeah, just say, "I'm Tom Welling, Clark Kent from Smallville, and you're listening to Always Hold On to Smallville."
Yeah. That's, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Hi, my name is Tom Welling. I played Clark Kent on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Zach, did I do it? You're a trooper.
Life goal.
Thanks for being here with us. We appreciate you. Thanks for supporting the show for so many years.
Thanks, Zach. We'll see you again.
Absolutely. See you guys.
See you, buddy. Thanks. All right, interesting things of note. Thank you, Zach Moore. Always Hold On to Smallville. Pete Ross.
By the way, Ryan's been doing that every episode. I guarantee it. You've been just listening to his podcast. You're not even watching.
Yeah. Pete Ross says he is more the power behind the throne, the guy behind the guy. When Lex Luthor was elected president of the United States in the comic books, Pete Ross became vice president of the United States and briefly the president himself following Luthor's impeachment.
What?
I would call that an interesting thing of note.
Clark Kent's election slogan, "The Man of Tomorrow," is one of Superman's nicknames in the comic books. Lex Luthor states that he would like to be president someday. In the Justice League 2001 animated series, Lex Luthor does become president, a series where I voice the Flash. Much to Clark and Lana's annoyance, this episode contains several references to the film The Godfather, such as Lana going to the mattress for the talent and Carrie saying she'll tell Lionel she got an offer she couldn't refuse. The Godfather 1972, whose writer Mario Puzo and star Marlon Brando worked together on Superman in 1978.
What did Puzo do in Superman movie?
He wrote it.
No kidding.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, he was just in it.
Bart Brando was in it. Yeah,
I guess they worked on Superman, but Puzo probably, I don't know what he did on that.
Interesting.
They just said that he worked on Superman with Marlon Brando.
Yeah, the Brando thing was big because he got a big payout, like a ridiculous payout to just show up in like, what, one or two scenes or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Wait, we didn't talk about this line when Clark is running for president and Chloe says, "I want to know what you stand for." And Clark says, "I stand for truth, justice, and some other stuff." Because the line is truth, justice, and the American way. That's the Superman line. And I thought that was good. I thought that was really fun.
I like that they didn't finish it and some stuff.
Because they do that. You know, they do these little sprinkles of things. And that was their reference this time.
I like it. Truth, I like that justice, it wasn't right on the head. Right,
some other stuff.
Yeah, that was really good. All right, we're going to go to the hotline. You guys know the hotline. We've told you about it before. Call 213-538-2883. Call ahead of time. If there are episodes way ahead of time, it's best to call in early, leave a message. Bryce will, go through them and hopefully use yours. So there you go. Here we go. We're going to go to the hotline right now.
Tara from Chicago. I loved Marguerite Moreau as Carrie Castle in Drone, and I thought her scenes with Michael were great. Do you know if there was ever any talk about her becoming a recurring character at all, if she was going to come back, or if that was always just going to be a one-er?
I think she did a great job, too. I never heard anything, really, that she was coming back. Those were for the boys. Those are questions for Alan Miles. Sometimes they really like guest stars, and I thought she did a great job. And sometimes they'd bring them back if the story made sense.
They, to be honest, they don't tell you. They don't tell the actor because you have a deal for 1-2 episodes. They're not going to tell you if you're coming back or not for leverage in the contract. So, you know, you're yeah. there for the episodes you're hired for in the hopes that maybe they bring you back. I'm in that situation right now on another show. So that's just how it goes.
I worked with her briefly.
No, Debbie Downer over here, but yeah.
One of my first YouTube jobs, production, she was in some YouTube videos with a woman named Cecily, and they were in videos together. Marguerite was one of my first,
She's nice.
Jobs, she was very nice.
Hey guys, Bender from Texas. Drone, we're looking at class elections. Question isn't necessarily about the episode, but what about you gentlemen? Were you ever in any sort of student government or maybe even in your yearbook voted most likely to succeed or most likely to host a podcast?
You know what's funny I'm learning not to put myself down. I'm trying to pick myself up lately. It's a good thing to do, be positive. But I will say that I think there would have, if there was a most likely to, I would have been most likely to disappear.
In like a survivalist way or in like a kidnapping way?
No, sort of like just. I don't really think I existed really that much. I was just not, people were just unaware. Like I was there, but I wasn't.
It was Michael Rosenbaum, most likely to, wait, who?
I just wasn't, I think I remember that name. I don't know, really. It kind of meandered around, didn't really belong anywhere. But I'm definitely not a school. I never would have run for anything. I wasn't mature. I matured later in life. I still wouldn't run for anything. Tom?
I have no recollection of being part of anything or what anything in a yearbook even said about me. I moved around a lot growing up, so I don't have any yearbooks. I think someone has one of my, someone posted a picture of me from a yearbook, so maybe you can ask them.
Most likely to be hot forever.
No.
What about you, Ryan? Did you run for anything? You look like you're smart, though.
I would never put myself in student government, though. That would have scared me in high school. I think I got voted most athletic.
Did you?
It was a very small high school. There were 88 kids in the graduating class.
How'd that work out?
Well,
he is athletic. Here I am. I play softball with him on Saturdays.
I'm currently nursing a softball wound on my elbow from laying out for a catch that I missed.
Should we not play Saturday then?
Huh?
Should we not play Saturday?
We can play Saturday. I have a bye week this week.
All right.
That reminds me of a story. I was playing volleyball a couple years ago with some guys, and no one's young, right? And the ball, it lands, it's coming over the net, it's going right to my buddy. And all he had to do was like, kind of like take a step, right? And then maybe kick it or like, it was kind of down his feet. And he just didn't make the move. And we were like, come on, what are you doing? He goes, yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
He's just like, I mean, I've learned, I don't stretch out, I don't dive. I just don't, if it's not at me, it's a good point, you know?
All right, here we go.
Hi, this is Sassy Miss Mary. How come Clark can just walk in to Breck's house anytime he wants? It's almost every episode. Doesn't he ever knock? Isn't he ever announced? He just walks right in. Have a great day. Really enjoying the podcast, guys.
Well, Sassy Miss Mary, you know, I think you got to suspend disbelief because I have the same problem. I think I've always had the same problem during filming. I had the same problem. But, you know, it's like, what do you do? I think if there was subtext in this, I think the subtext would be, Clark, you're always invited to the mansion. If you ever need anything, the security guards always know it's you. You're always welcome to come in. Never worry about calling or whatever. Maybe something
Clark,
like come, that.
Clark, just stop by. The security guards, they won't even see you.
Now if you can give me,
you know, the other thing is like, I thought she said Talon, by the way, and immediately I was like, you're right, he does just walk into the Talon all the time. And then I thought for some random reason I was like, and right, he never does homework. No one ever does homework. You never see anybody doing homework. Like that was my thought process after that question.
It'd be a very boring show if everyone was doing homework, though. We don't need to see homework.
Clark, I'm trying to concentrate. I'm doing homework.
Every scene should start with somebody doing homework, but it never happens. These kids aren't going to graduate.
No, no one. They're all going to.
The funny thing is they graduated 20 years before the show. All right. So highlights, lowlights. I mean, we've kind of talked about them. I thought there was some cool character stuff. For the most part, the lowlights, the whole B thing, it just was so ridiculous, incredulous, implausible. Call it what you want. I am not a big fan of that. There were some fun moments. I definitely liked Lex, sort of like a little don't mess with me sort of character, and this you know, woman who's trying to manipulate him. That was cool. There was definitely some moments with character stuff with Clark, and you know, he's a good sport. He lost, you know, he didn't whine about it. He didn't cry about it. He just moved on. No one wanted to see him as class president either. Anyway, Tom.
I mean, I think we talked a lot about the highs and lows throughout this, so I don't want to repeat any of those. You know, I don't know if Clark really wanted it. I think he was just sort of, it was more about feeling out a new possible, you know, status for him. I thought it was good. I liked, I mean, we did talk about this, that the B story was the A story. I thought that was funny to bring up again. But I mean, I liked it. Again, all these stories just expose character, hopefully character development for our main characters. You know, I like the way Lex sort of like, oh, just throw money at people. Oh, she doesn't want money. She wants power. I'll figure that out. You know, just navigating. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fun to watch.
I agree. Tom or Ryan? Ryan? Ryan?
Yeah. No, Ryan. I agree.
All right.
I agree with everything that's been said. I don't need to add.
Mika, sweet Mika. At the end of the episode, we find out Clark lost the election, but what place do you think he got?
I almost feel like he didn't get any votes. Like, I feel like there wasn't a third.
Well, think about this. If the blonde girl, the popular girl, was in the hospital,
she could have gotten votes.
No, she was almost near death. She was in rough shape. And then
there's people who win elections and they're already dead.
And then the mean girl. So that leaves three. Paul Chan.
But what shape was Paul Chan in? He got attacked by bees. And
he was
won.
In better shape, though, than the girl. They said that. I remember. I listened.
They just dropped that and I miss it. Poor Paul. I mean, is this going to scar him like every time he runs for office, like in the future, like if he tries to be like a politician? It's like, shit, I don't get attacked by bees.
He probably keeps one of those needles around for like, he's allergic to bees.
Well, let's see if they're consistent with like, you know, if they ever mention the class president, maybe Paul Chan comes back. I don't know. We'll see. Mm. Rose and bomb rating. Well, we're going to start with Ryan on this one. Remember, three roses is the best, two, one rose. Then in the middle is a heater, right down the middle, neither here or there. And then one bomb, two bomb, three Rosen bombs.
Right. I'm going to go with one, and I don't know if I want to explain it, but I'm just going to give it a one.
Not going to explain it. That's fine with
there
me.
There we go.
I was just going to go 1.3 to stay on my average.
Man, this is tough for me. This
no, I
tough.
Mean, I think it's fun. I think it's light. Again, my criteria is if you had to show somebody one or the top five episodes, I don't think this is one of them. And I think that gets you into the 2-3 category. So I think this is fun. There's some Superman future references. I won. I would go with a one.
I just think that what you're saying with a one rose, it was good. This was a good show. I would recommend. That's what one rose is. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would not give it a rose. Mm. Out of all the good episodes, and there's been some great ones, I would not say this was a great episode. This was a throwaway. I feel like it was just neither here nor there. I am going to give it a heater right down the middle. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was just a heater. And that's what I'll give it. Death count and save count. How many people got saved? How many died? Zero dead. Although in reality, Paul would have died. The cheerleader would have died with all those bites. And the girl would have died. But they didn't. It's fine. Smallville. Zero died. Paul, Felice, Sasha, they were all hospitalized. Three people were saved. Clark saves Lana, Martha, and Sasha from swarms.
That's why he can't get any homework done.
Yeah, he's always saving people. Do you have any idea through 18 episodes how many people have died and how many people are saved? Go ahead, Ryan. How many people are dead so far in Smallville?
I don't know. I was never good at the jelly bean guessing game.
How many people died? Just give me a number.
Like 18 people are saved and like 12 are dead.
Okay, Tom?
32 and 5.
27 dead, 33 saved.
Oh, fuck me.
Wow.
In 18 days in Smallville.
18 days.
All right, it's time.
Every episode should start with like someone like at like the population of Smallville, like when you're driving and just like adjusting it.
Adjust the population of Smallville. That would be funny.
And every opening scene is Pete, Chloe, and Clark coming down the stairs being like, wow, yesterday it was crazy. Yeah. You all those bees.
But also people are being born in Smallville, so it'd be hard. You might not know the births that we're having. That's you know, true. Like at Woodstock 69, three people died, but symbolically three people were born, so it kind of evened itself out.
Sure.
Yeah. Ryan's favorite scene.
Okay.
As you know, I've been crushing it.
Okay. All right. I'll try to help Tom out.
Don't help Tom out. Just give it how it is.
Just all right.
Give a little.
Ryan writes down three scenes.
Scene number one, the slow-mo saving Martha in the field from the bees.
Wait a minute.
Scene number one.
What's that one?
Martha in the field getting saved by Clark from the bees. Slow-mo action.
Okay.
Had it all. Scene number two, Clark throwing the screwdriver at the gas barrel and saving, what's her nuts? I don't know. Fun action scene. Yep. Explosions. Cool.
Two big action scenes. All right.
And then number three, the speech scene at the end where Clark gives his speech.
Oh, this is a tough one.
Man. Oh, man.
There's one winner.
You go first, Rosie.
I'm going to have to go with the bees. Winner. I think the bees scene, was a really cool scene. You could say that, too, and keep yourself on track.
Well, I have to because I singled that scene out already. And strategically, if I pick it and we're both wrong, then you don't go one up. So I'm going to pick the same one.
Yeah, the scene with Martha. Yeah.
Yep. There you
go.
That's
the one. That's the one.
Got it.
You guys get it.
It
was hands down the best scene in the episode.
I think it was, too.
Floor
All right. Look, let's take the discussion online. Let's know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials. We love you. We love hearing from you at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod. If you want to let us know your thoughts for other episodes in season one, leave a voicemail over at 213-538-2883. We have some good, fun things coming up. We're nearing the end of first season, and then Ryan has some ideas for...
I don't. Bryce does.
I mean, Bryce has some ideas for
Bryce
another.
Bryce is the one with the ideas.
Yeah, we might.
An empty vessel.
Yeah, well, there's some good stuff coming along. We're nearing the end of the first season. Thank you for staying with us. Please join Patreon to support the podcast, patreon.com/talkville. We give shout outs to all of you at the top tiers at the end of every episode, and you get a whole bunch of other perks, Q&As and this and that, and there's just all sorts of stuff. So thank you, patreon.com/talkville. Thanks for the support. Tom, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, listen, always hold on to Smallville.
Always hold on to Smallville.
They said it best. We'll see you next week. Always hold on to Smallville. We never forget our shout outs, our lovable patrons. Go to patreon.com/talkville. Become a patron. Support the podcast. We need you. Here are the shout outs to our lovable patrons. Tom, take it away.
Thank you, guys. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, Leah S, Little Lisa, Tom T, Sophie M, Betsy D, Liliana A, got it right, Abhi P, Chris F, Kimberly E, Michael H, Ray H, Karen M, Danielle B.
99 more. Lilani N, Catherine P, Brett G, Super Sam, always hold on to Smallville. Jeff E, Estevan G, DJ Kento, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Teresa, Justin S, Tom N, Tony V, Rodolfo V, Jason W, Osama A, Nancy D.
Wow. Ryan G, Sarah W, Megan H, Artune K, Justin T, and Lucy O, Grape Jelly 817, Jeremy G, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, and Grumpyitis.
Jordan M, Hillary B, The Blur with a 3, Craig G, Christy R, Pollyanna, Karen P, Derek G, Jarrell, Richard S, Heather and Greg, Nico P, Jason Ramona, Brian H, Jason M, Georgina B,
Eric K, Kevin E, Craig, Ashley Ryan, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Aaron K, Darth Achilles, good one, and Richard R, I got a cough,
Finky, Kenny S, Sydney S, Tito G, Mickey is doing shit. Oh. Yep, that's what it says. Mickey is doing shit. Stephen F, damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid. Allison H, General Zod, Warren N, Amara E, Theodore, It's _ Kitty, Crack. Drew M, Connor M, Nathan, Arasilis, R, Big D, and we said Kristen K, Kia. Come on.
This is funny. I see what you guys are doing here. I appreciate it because we wouldn't be here without you. But some interesting creative names there. I see what you're doing, and I like it.
Yes, and also head over to our website, talkvillepodcast.com, to cast your vote for some of the best moments of season one. We'll be talking about them in an upcoming episode. Thank you so much for having us. We love you. From Ryan, Tom Welling, and myself. Or actually, Ryan's not here right now. It's just me and Tom talking much. We love you.
He's here in spirit.
We'll see you later.